morning.
Good morning.
Happy May Day, happy Beltane, and in advance, happy Cinco de Mayo and National Day of Prayer. Please join us in singing number 21, For the Beauty of the Earth. Number 347, Gather the Spirit.
Thank you.
Welcome. Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Church of Fort Myers, where our mission is to love, grow, and serve. My name is Jersey Blosser, and I will be your worship associate this morning. I've been coming to this church for about 4 years, and it has been the best 4 years of my life. I have an amazing group of people that are always surrounding me, and it's amazing. For the month of May, we explore the theme of mercy and how to model it in your family, your church, your neighborhood, and all your relations. Welcome to those of you who are guests and new to this congregation. We're so glad to have you here. You will find a connection card in the pew in front of you, and I invite each of you to fill out this card so we can make sure to stay connected and get any new updates or anything. If you are a guest today, the connection card will give us a chance to connect with you and learn more about you. After the service, I invite you to join us in the building to your right as you exit the sanctuary for refreshments and fellowship. If you are new, grab a yellow mug and we will make sure to give you an extra special greeting. For those who are interested in membership, our Pathways to Membership meeting will be held in the library at noon today, and that is just to your left as you exit the sanctuary. Also, all of you are invited to our Spring Fling 2016, a celebration of all plants, bright and beautiful. The Garden Gala is Saturday, May 7th, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Come hear featured speakers along with exhibitors, workshops, and tours of Bill Brewer Family Gardens. Family activities take place between 12 and 1:30. Raffles will be held for a rain barrel, gift-filled baskets, and a garden bed at the Bill Brewer Family Gardens. Join us for our first annual butterfly release, Adopt a Butterfly, have fun with your fellow congregants and neighbors. Our chalice later this morning is Sophie Halstead. Sophie recently told her parents that the reason she likes to talk so much is because when she was a baby, she couldn't talk and she really wanted to. In the future, she plans to be an ambulance doctor, pilot, or construction worker. These vocations, of course, will all include quite a bit of dancing and improvisational jazz vocals, lovingly referred to in the Halstead home as toddler scat. Should you ever be invited to join her in a recording session, you might find it a little bit more difficult than you would think. Now please rise in body or spirit and join in singing our covenant as Sophie lights the chalice and remain risen for our opening song.
The hymn for today is number 323, Break Not the Circle. And it's lesser known to us, but it's one of the great UU hymns. The choir will sing the first verse, and please join us on the second and third.
Thank you. We need one another. We need one another when we would mourn and would be comforted.
We need one another
when we are in trouble and afraid.
We need one another when we're in despair, in temptation, and need to be recalled to our best selves again.
We need one another when we would accomplish some great purpose and cannot do it alone.
We need one another in the hour of success, when we look for someone with which to share our triumphs.
We need one another in the hour of defeat, when with encouragement we might endure and say again.
We need one another when we have come to die and would have gentle hands prepare us for the journey.
All our lives we are in need, and others are in need of us.
Amen. And now I would like to invite forward our light bearers who are going to come and take the chalice flame to our children's chapel, which today is going to be in celebration and recognition of the ancient rite of Beltane. And as this flame is taken from the chalice, we recognize that this flame is to catch the hearts going from generation to generation. Let us now join in singing our children and teachers and leaders out to their children's chapel with "Go Now in Peace." Now is the time in our service when we bring into the circle of love and embrace the joys and sorrows and milestones of this community and beyond these walls. I would like to recognize that our congregation held a joyful remembrance for the late Nancy Fisk, and what an incredible gathering that was that honored her memory with so much respect and laughter and love. And we were reminded of the ways in which, as she has died, we're invited to live into her legacy. Curmudgeonly, lovingly, and beautifully, as she was on this earth. Also, let us hold in love and light Monica Monahan, who has been away for some time recovering from a hip surgery, and sends her love to us. And so any of you are invited to call or send cards of support as she heals and works towards a pain-free life. Imagine that. And of course, there's so much more that remains in our own hearts and in our own minds, which we bring into this time, which is a time truly of centering to listen within. And so I invite you into the spirit of prayer or meditation. O Holy One, invite us into the mystery of stillness. Invite us into a time to embrace what is within. At this time of Beltane, we might be inspired by the heat and the warmth and the fire of inspiration. Remembering this church's mission is to be inspired by love, to open ourselves to that inspiration, and to see what creative fire might come forth and bloom into our lives in profusion, in ways beyond our imagining, until we're willing to try. O Spirit of renewal and abundance, invite us into a way of living that embraces plenitude, so much so that in all the ways we move through the world, we might give and serve others from a place of overflow instead of obligation. Where there might be guilt or shame, instead, what is given might be given freely with joy and delight. And as we open ourselves to be inspired by love, and as we give from a sense of overflow, we grow and learn and become transformed, not from what we are to what we should be, but coming deep down in touch with who we really are, as agents of mercy and loving kindness in the world. Coming into that sense of stillness where nothing can trouble and nothing can frighten. Finding a place in a few moments of quiet that follow where we invite the spirit of love and God to fill us. Goddess. Cosmic consciousness, the universe, Holy One, mystery, For surely goodness and mercy shall follow us for the rest of our days. Peace, salam, shalom, and blessed be. During the time of centering, you may have had some wisdom or thoughts come to you, perhaps a yearning or an intention, a way to live into in the coming days ahead that could invite goodness and mercy into your lives and into the lives that you touch. Our ritual, the Stones of Intention, every Sunday gives you the opportunity to center around again and again around that which is most sacred, your most sacred intentions and promises. So perhaps during the music meditation, as you come forward or to the sides, you offer that stone of intention as a way of centering again around that which is most important. Or perhaps it's to honor a joy, a sorrow, a milestone, a loved one in your life. Whatever it is, it is my prayer that that offering brings you peace. May our prayers be heard and our hearts be restored.
And now let us remain seated as we join together in singing number 1037, We Begin Again in Love. There will be a narrated portion led by Heather, Heather Preston. And then we will sing the response each time.
For remaining silent when a single voice would have made a difference.
We forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love.
For each time that our fears have made us rigid and inaccessible.
We forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love.
For each time we have struck out in anger without just a cause.
We forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again
each time that our greed has blinded us to the needs of others.
We forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love.
For the selfishness that sets us apart and alone.
We forgive ourselves and each other.
Falling short of the admonitions of the Spirit.
We forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love.
For losing sight of our unity.
We forgive ourselves and each other.
Those and for so many acts, both evident and subtle, which have fueled the illusion of separateness.
We forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again.
This is the sum of duty. Do not unto others which would cause you pain if done unto you.
Hurt not others in ways that you yourself would find hurtful.
Is there one maxim which would ought to be acted upon throughout one's whole life? Surely it is the maxim of loving kindness. Do not unto others what you would not have them do unto you.
Regard your neighbor's gain as your own gain, and your neighbor's loss as your own loss.
What is hateful to you, do not to another. That is the entire law. All the rest is commentary. All things whatsoever ye would that humankind should do to you, do ye even unto them, for this is the law and the prophets.
No one of you is a believer until one desires for another that which one desires for oneself.
Ah, it's the golden rule. Let's put up the next picture.
Aww. I remember remember learning the golden rule as a kid. Do you remember learning that? I don't know. Did you all learn the golden rule? I did. And we can see there's been a whole movement about the interfaith golden rule, which is the idea that every single wisdom tradition has some version of the golden rule, and that it's like this golden thread, and it's been taken up by people like writers like Karen Armstrong, a white British writer, who, inspired by the idea of the interfaith golden rule, began something called the Charter for Compassion. In 2008, she became wildly famous for doing a TED talk. She came and talked to the Unitarian Universalists as we gathered at our yearly General Assembly, and about ways in which we can enliven compassion in the world via this understanding that every single wisdom tradition embraces the golden rule. So I want to tell you a little story. The story goes that there was one day, I had just started here, I was probably in my first year of ministry, so I was called to this church in 2008, and I was fresh from seminary, and y'all have just been growing me up. I really appreciate it. I was fresh from seminary, still hot off the presses, and always, you know, we're always learning. That's one thing, a tenet of our faith tradition, is that once you step through these doors, you have to acknowledge that you're always in a learning process. So, are you with me? Okay. Good. So, we go to this wonderful event, and it's, I'm trying to remember the first time I met Imam Muhammad al-Darsani. And I was brand new and still, you know, feeling a little perhaps nervous about serving in a very conservative culture of Southwest Florida, really feeling that I needed to move into my authority and thinking about, you know, just presenting myself as someone grounded as a minister and, you know, just powerful, strong woman. Ah! So I get to meet one of our local Muslim imams, and I put out my hand. I just put that hand out because that's how I want to be treated. I want to be greeted with respect because this is how I want to, and I want to give that nice, firm, I'm a strong woman handshake. That's what I want, and that's what I want to get from somebody else. Oops. And graciously, Imam al-Darsani greets me. So sometimes the golden rule isn't enough. To treat someone the way I want to be treated doesn't necessarily serve the relationship. It did not serve in that capacity. And I learned. And that's sort of what we're looking at, is this understanding of how the golden rule, it's a great starting point. It's kind of like, oh, look, it's another human being, which is still needed in this world, the understanding that we humanize one another. But is that enough? Let's go to the next slide. Remember the golden rule. What's that? Yeah, whoever has the gold makes the rules. So sometimes with the golden rule, we end up in a situation where it seems nice for one-to-ones, although we see how that didn't serve very well in that capacity. But when you start to blow it out to systemic systems and institutions like churches or governments or oligarchies, dictatorships, the golden rule doesn't necessarily serve. For one thing, I don't actually want to be that king. I don't want to live that way. I don't want to be treated like a king because I don't feel comfortable with that. But there's also something going on in this situation, which is power over. That there are systems in place in our world where there are dominant cultures that assume that everyone wants to be treated the same. And that assumption gets in the way of truly being merciful and compassionate with one another. So often the idea of mercy is this idea that I'm giving charity, that I'm just offering some mercy to some lowly person below. Oh, I'm giving mercy to you. And that comes from religion. That comes from theologies that have created a sense of this all-powerful God that instead of using that power and sharing in this collaborative, beautiful thing that we're in together called life in this universe, this power over dynamic is that sort of God who you have to obey the rules. And that has not served us well. It has set models. When we tell those stories of power over, it has set up stories where the human beings that we are, we follow the model. And we create systems where many people in the dominant culture assume that everyone wants to be treated the same way. Put her there! Oops. So one thing to consider is a different rule, to move beyond the golden rule, not to stomp on it and say, you're terrible, because that doesn't serve us either. I don't think it ever serves us well to look at the ways that we've been being and to feel guilty and shameful of it, but simply to acknowledge this is the way I have been and I'm being invited into a new direction and a new way. Richard Rohr talks about this in his book, The Immortal Diamond. He's a Franciscan teacher, fabulous monk, man, who talks about the idea of the false self and our true selves. And that false self are ways of being in the world that no longer serve us. And when we look back upon those parts of the false self that we've lived in, different identities, different ways of being, that we don't need to look back and think, oh, that was so terrible, I was so stupid. But to integrate that into the ways of truly authentic living and being forgiving and merciful to ourselves, of understanding that's the way I was. Okay, so the golden rule was a good start. But there's more, because the golden rule isn't enough. Let me give you an example. Last year, our Lee Interfaith for Empowerment Interfaith Justice Ministry took on the issue, and we're still working it, of implementing fair chance hiring policies, right? So that was in the city of Fort Myers. The mayor said yes, the city manager went. Got busy, busy, busy. And now, people who are applying for city jobs in Fort Myers no longer have to check a box that says I was a felon or I was convicted. And what that means is that they're getting a fair chance to get through the door before their application gets thrown away. So often what that means is somebody else could say, well, that's not fair to the people who didn't ever go to jail or get arrested and get into trouble. But we have to begin to wonder, what is truly justice and what is truly fair? I was recently reading a blog post by a teacher named Amy Sun, and she was talking about how one of her students was doing her learning with headphones because she is an auditory learner. And one of the other kids said, hey, that kid's got headphones on. That's not fair. So what does it mean to look at what really fair is? And this comes into play with discussions around equality and equity. Equity is beginning to look and understand what fairness and justice is as something a little different. Let's look at the next slide. So this, you'll see the credits at the bottom of your order of worship because we want to credit where this one comes from. So you see equality is like, oh, everybody wants to be treated the same. Well, that's not working out for that little guy, is it? Boo. Oops. Oh, I'm going to help. I'll get everybody's stools. Well, sometimes being treated the same doesn't really work. Just like that student who is an auditory learner, it would not serve that student to simply sit in the chair and be talked to, although it doesn't really serve any of us that well, does it? Boring. So here we have a sense of equity. Oh my gosh, look, everybody's seeing the baseball game. It's fabulous. And we've made different scenarios here that say, oh, well, that's fair. Look, that little guy's a little shorter, so we'll get this. And this is truly a picture of fairness, right? But what could be said is, oh, well, those are special accommodations being made. So what? Doesn't everybody just want to enjoy the game? Don't you? Don't you just want to enjoy the game? To see it and enjoy it? So throw another box there. No big deal. What's the big deal? So then the golden rule becomes something where we have the opportunity to consider what's kind of going around as, you know, internet meme. I can't credit one person or another because everyone seems to be claiming it, as the platinum rule. And we can get the next slide here. Treat others the way they want to be treated. Now, this is getting tricky. This gets tricky to me. So I cannot read minds. How do I find out how someone else wants to be treated? I have to do some work. I have to start doing some work. I have to start looking into and thinking about, especially some of those power dynamics. You saw that king up there? Well, I'm in a position of authority. And for any of you who find yourselves in positions of authority, and you may be surprised that some of you are in more positions of authority than you realize, or perhaps something I could think about is that I'm in a position of privilege. You know, there's so many things I don't have to think about as a white person. I don't have to think about when I walk into the store being profiled. I don't have to really worry about waltzing into a bank and getting a loan so much. Not so much. And so I have this position of privilege, this position of power, and I have to think about that and wonder about that. I wonder about if it's really fair for me to say what being equal is, and to start focusing instead on what equity is. It really doesn't mean much to me to have to add an extra box, or perhaps to work with others to begin to learn and wonder if there's something that I might do to be an ally as we work towards equity, to treat others as they want to be treated. And sometimes it's difficult to just even begin to ask that question. It reminds me so much of, so often, there seems to be a focus on underserved communities being treated as hotspots and places of crime, where there's a disconnect where those in leadership, and I'm just, you know, speaking hypothetically, don't seem to be that curious to actually ask the affected communities, how would you like to be treated? And to do the work of understanding that there are some major problems going on. If you just read Michelle Alexander's New Jim Crow and think, oh my gosh, 1 in 8 African-American male youth will find themselves behind bars in this very moment. That's a problem. But I can go through the world just not even paying attention. And that's privilege. So to do the work, to treat others the way they want to be treated, means that there is an assumption out there that we're not all the same. So sometimes I have to, I got nothing but love for this faith tradition, okay? Let me just say that. Nothing but love. Nothing but pride and joy for all the ways it has served me in my life and the ways I have been able to serve others with this fabulous Unitarian Universalist tradition. But a lot of the times you hear, well, we're just all the same. You know, we're all the same. We all worship the same God. Well, my atheists out there are like, excuse me? God? I don't think so. And then my goddess-loving ladies are like, and gents, thank you, are like, nope, we're not all the same. Or the assumption that happens sometimes in our interactions together. The assumption that everybody might have gone to school, to graduate school, the assumption that somebody is retired or not. Just lots of assumptions that are being made where if we're really beginning to develop a different lens of how we view the world to treat others the way they want to be treated, why not ask the question, and you can try it. You can try it later if you want. Hi, it's so nice to meet you. What brings you here today? What brought you through the doors today? And in that way, there is a similarity because everybody did come through the doors. Something brought somebody here today. Sometimes when we understand that we're different, it can cause tension. But that tension can be productive. It can be something we can work with and celebrate. Audre Lorde always talks about how we shouldn't minimize and say that we're all the same, but instead to celebrate the differences. And that's looking at things through the lens of a poet, someone who recognizes the beauty in everything that's different. Oh my gosh, those family gardens out there, have you been out there? How beautiful is it? All these different blossoming, blooming, fruiting, vegetabling things. How boring it would be if it was just soy. Just corn. No offense to Iowa. Monoculture does not serve us. Instead, developing a culture where we, as ambassadors in this congregation, are treating others the way they want to be treated means that there's not only looking within to what I want and how I want to be, but developing a sensitivity and an awareness of how to be with others that respects them and meets them where they are. And I'll tell you what, we're not all the same. So you may come because you looked for like-minded individuals. I hear that a lot. And I understand, I kind of get the vibe on that. I get it. It can be a sanctuary in some ways because we are religious liberals. And that means that we are committed to certain values, especially the understanding that we're always learning and that we can find wisdom in all different kinds of ways, not in just one sealed holy book that says it was this and that, and then you're done. We're never done. We're always learning. And so we have the opportunity to continue to learn and grow. And so I want to invite you to consider and discern deeply in your minds or your hearts or wherever you do it, registering for a workshop we are hosting at this church on Saturday, May 21st. And that workshop is being hosted by our Southern region. It is called Differences That Make a Difference. Finding strategies and ways of coming together and understanding that we are different, and then finding a sense of appreciation for those differences and ways to move forward together that allow us to learn and grow. This is the Beltane time. It's a time, do you feel the heat? It's building. It's a time when many of our ancients and many of our good folk today, this evening, are lighting fires to encourage that heat, that fire of inspiration. And our very mission statement says we are inspired by love. We transform ourselves and serve others. So it comes from a place of groundedness and learning where we give of ourselves. And then as we work towards our vision, coming up on our 60th anniversary in 2021, part of that vision is to be a generous and inclusive community so that circle continues to widen and widen, the circle of our influence and the embrace of our welcome continues to widen to find all the different ways we can be inclusive, whether it's inclusive with developing a better awareness of the experience of transgendered folk or developing an awareness of folks who may or may not have received a higher education, or developing an awareness of our folk among us who have whatever difference that makes them different. And that would mean that that's all of us. We're all different. And so there's much to celebrate in this learning. And so I invite you again, I want you to deeply consider attending this workshop. If funding is an issue, then you come to me. I will find a way to make it happen so that you can come and bring your perspective, so that we can come together and better understand how we can treat others the way they want to be treated. There's no reason that we need to minimize and think everyone is the same. There's more beauty and richness in celebrating all the ways that we're different. Blessed be. And amen, brother.
Please rise in body or spirit and join together in singing number 131, Love Will Guide Us.
One of the ways we liven our religious values in the world is by making them real through the form of financial contribution. All undesignated funds this month will be given to Planned Parenthood of Southwest Florida, an organization near and dear to this congregation's heart. I invite you to enliven your generosity by reaching deep in your pockets today and making your values real through your contribution to this church community. Don't forget to offer your connection card in the offertory basket as it passes by so that we can stay connected. The morning offering will now be given and received.
May morning, I took my love to church to see if Parson Pruneface was properly aperched. The sermon scarcely started, someone began to snore, when like a sunlit sea wave, a green and crimson wave, a band of merry maple came a-whooping through the door. Oh, singing, come up, come in with streamers, come in with boughs of May. Come green and white and trip the lawn till night becomes the day. Jump up and dance the tomfool, jump up and duck and leap. Jump up and wake the people that the parson puts to sleep. They brandish not brown tabers, their garlands fell in showers. Come lads and lasses after them with feet like dancing flowers. Their queen had torn her green gown and bared a shoulder white. White as the May that crowned her and all the minstrels round her. Tilted back their crimson hats and sang with sheer delight. Oh, singing, come up, come in with streamers, come in with boughs of May. Come green and white and trip the lawn till night becomes the day. The green distant flowers bedecked as if to wed. Go on and kiss the lady, oh, before the moment's fled. The dusky velvet hassocks were cloaked in fragrant dew. The font grew white with hawthorn, it frothed in every view. The parson's beard was frosted from the queen's hawthorny kiss. When like a Morris saber, Tomfool raised his tabor, bounded to the pulpit and commenced to preaching this. Oh, singing, come up, come in with streamers, come in with boughs of May. We sing of life, the light becomes the day. We sing of life arisen from the Lord who shed and died. Your guide's alive in greenwood with a lady by his side.
May. The words we sing are different, but the tune's not far away. So stand with us, join hand to hand, and raise a sacred call. We sing of life arisen, we sing of glory risen. We sing that love is risen again, and love is Lord of all. Oh, sing and come up, come in with streamers, come in with boughs of May. Come green and white and trip them on till night becomes the day. So dance with joy remembered and sing of love's reward. Raise up a cup of May wine to the Lady and the Lord.
Yes, and as merry Mayfolk as we are, let us join and rise in body and spirit as we speak the words projected above and receive your generosity for Planned Parenthood. By the work of our hands and the work of our hearts, our love is made real. May we be grateful for all that is given and grateful for all that is shared. And now let us join in singing Carry the Flame as we extinguish the chalice this Sunday. As you go out empowered to be agents of mercy in the world, go with an eye toward equity and bring compassion in all your relations and treat others as they wish to be treated.